thank the Lord today for everyone that's here. Let's pray that the Lord would bless us and what He would have us to share with you today. We'd like for you to turn with us to John, St. John, the 17th chapter. I want to read a little bit there, starting at about the 15th verse is really what we're going to be looking at today. St. John 17. This is the Lord praying to His Father. Let's start at about the 10th verse. And let's read down. St. John 17, verse 10.
And all mine are thine.
All mine are thine. And thine are mine.
And
I am glorified in them.
And now
I am no more in the world.
But these are in the world.
I come to thee, Holy Father.
Keep
to thine own name
those
whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Do you realize that Jesus prayed for you and me before we were even created in the sense that we are created? The Lord prayed for us. You know what that teaches me in this is that our prayers have an effect. And they're not just an effect that happens one time. But we can pray for something. We can pray for somebody, and those prayers will follow that person for the rest of their lives. I believe that there are some of us that are sitting here today because we had somebody praying for us, and that person is dead and gone. And we may not have given our heart to the Lord until that person was gone, but the Lord still remembered those prayers. And so Jesus here is praying to His Father, and He's saying, Lord, these are mine. You've given them to me. And I'm praying for them. I'm asking you that you would have special mercy on them. Continue reading, please.
While I was with them in the world,
I kept them in thy name.
Those
that thou gavest me, I have kept.
And none of them
is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So the Lord took His charge very seriously. Now He realized that He's getting ready to go back to the Father, and He's saying, Father, we need you to keep them, just like I've kept them. We're asking you to keep them through your name. I've kept them, and none of them have been lost. I've taken it very seriously, the charge that you've given me, that you've given me a group of men to train and to teach and for them to go out into the world and teach the world. Lord, I've taken that charge very seriously. All right?
And now I come
to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Lord, I want them to have joy, though, that it might be fulfilled in themselves, but I've given them your word, and the world has hated them.
Because
they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil.
They are not of the world,
even as I am not of the world.
Sanctify
them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now I want to stop and deal with this for a moment because I want to deal with the 15th verse here. It says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. All right? Now, I'm amazed that a person can stay saved in this present evil world. To me, that is the greatest miracle. Folks want to say that, oh, the days of miracles are past and the days of healing is past, and the things that the Lord did when He walked on the earth, we don't see them anymore. But let me tell you, the greatest miracle is the healing of the soul. That a person can maintain their integrity with the Lord and live in a world that is full of temptations, that is full of all the things that this world is full of. But what Jesus did, He prayed for us. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. He prayed for every person, the people that are not born yet, that are actually going to live for Him. He prayed that the Lord would keep them from the evil. I'm not going to ask you to take them out into a place, up into some sanctuary or monastery. Lord, I don't want you to do that. They're going to have to live right among the folks. They're going to have to live right among sin. They're going to walk out of their front door and they're going to see it. They're going to see evil. They're going to see evil in their families. They're going to see evil in the school system. They're going to see evil in their on their job place. But Lord, I'm praying for them that you would keep them from that evil. And do you realize that the great miracle that we have is that the Lord has the ability and the capability to keep us pure in this present world? We can live right. We can do right even when everybody else is not doing right. We look at our families. We look on the job. Many places, there are just a few of us that are endeavoring to please God to the fullest extent. Not even folks that are calling themselves Christian are trying to please the Lord more than they please themselves. The Bible speaks of that. They say they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What does that mean? Does that mean that they don't love God? I put that in quotations. If you were to ask them, they would say, absolutely, I love the Lord. I'm a Christian, aren't I? But what the Lord is saying, they love their pleasure. They love what they're doing more than they love God. And what we must do as true saints of God, what we must do is say, Lord, I don't love me more than I love you. That's why there are some things that we have to do that maybe we didn't want to do initially, but our love for the Lord constrains us to do what the Lord would have us to do. All right? So he said, Lord, I pray that you would keep them from the evil. So I want you to understand. I want everyone here to understand that once we have given our heart to the Lord, there is a prayer that attaches itself to us, and that prayer is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you say there's nobody praying for me, Jesus already prayed for you. I have prayed for you. That your faith fail not. I have prayed for you. The Lord says this. I have prayed for you. That Lord, my Father has taken charge of your life. You don't have to sin more or less every day. You don't have to fall to temptation. You don't have to fall to the evils that are around you. Maybe somebody did something that is directly against you, and it was evil. It was wrong. It was wicked. It was something that you don't understand. How can that person have done it and say that they love me, or say that they are a human being even? But you do not have to yield to the temptation of retaliation. I don't have to retaliate. I can give my case to the Lord. Lord, you see, I'm hurt by this. You see that there is something here that affects me in a negative way. And Lord, I'm hurting inside and I'm hurting outside and I'm hurting emotionally. But Lord, I dare not pick up my cause. You keep me from the evil. You keep me from the thought that, well, why don't you do something about that? I wouldn't let them do that to me. Has the devil ever told you that? Has the devil ever justified you taking action to do something against someone else that the Lord did not give you the liberty to do? That's evil. Keep me from that, Lord. Because what happens is, when someone does something to you against you, and you have this in your heart that you want to get even, this is the world, this is... Well, and let me tell you, we all have been no doubt tempted to some degree to do this. The Lord, keep me from that evil. What they did was evil. Why would I want to get even with them? You know what that means? That means I want to do something equally as bad to you to make you know how I feel about what you did. I want to get even, so it's an even playing field here. But you know, if what they did was evil, what makes you think that what you're being tempted to do is not evil? Lord, help us. Keep us from the evil. I'm not going to tell you to take them out. I'm not going to tell you to take them out of the world. I'm not going to tell you to take them away from temptation. But I'm going to ask you, Lord, I'm praying that you would keep them from doing anything that would be against your will. All right? Isn't that wonderful? And the Lord does that, doesn't he? Now, let's turn to 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 13th verse. Yes.
But evil men
and seducers
shall wax
worse and worse,
deceiving and being deceived.
Do you suppose that scripture is being fulfilled? Are people, let's just go back. A good majority of us can go back 30 years. And let's just say the things that are happening today did not happen 30, 40 years ago, did they? One of the things that we see in our school system, there is this desire to separate church and state. But yet when we separate church and state, and I understand the forefathers' mindset for that. I understand that. But I think that if we went back to those men that formed the Constitution and wrote it out, I believe that they would not be saying to do what we're doing today. I don't believe that. Now, what we have said is one of the things, our school system. Most of us, I grew up in a small town, and I grew up in a school system that one of the first things that we did, the bell rang. And one of the first things that we did, we had prayer. We said the Pledge of Allegiance. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We said the Pledge of Allegiance, and we said a small prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Someone led us in prayer, and the Lord blessed us as a result of that. And what we have to know, nowadays, we are a group of people that we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to offend somebody because you may not be Christian, you may not be a Christian, and you may be something else, and we don't want to offend you. So now what do we have? Do you still have moments of silence? Yeah. Have moments of silence. You know what you need? You know what we need to tell our children? Don't just stand there. Do something. Pray. Silence? What benefit is silence? They don't know what to do, but when we understand that there is the foundation of what we of our moral compass is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're a higher Christian. I don't care what you are. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him and I need Him. And we don't need to shy away from that, saints. This is who I am, and I'm not going to be ashamed to say that I am a Christian. And no, I don't want to offend you, but I don't want you to offend me either. And the fact that you're wanting to take these things away, that's offensive to me. The fact that you don't want to stand on the Word of God, and now what is it? My children, even though I don't have any children in the school system right now, but my children, our children are affected by this. And so now what do you have in school system? We had a lockdown. Tyler had a lockdown in his school the other day. Why? Because somebody brought a gun. Yeah. Or they thought somebody brought a gun. Now what is this talking about? This scripture, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what happens in our society now is that we can easily be deceived that what we believe is right is offensive to somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? So we cannot have strong beliefs and impose our belief, our Christian doctrines, our Christian theology on somebody that may not be Christian. But let me tell you, basically all the laws that are worth anything is based on this Bible. If you got a gun and went and shot somebody in a school system or somewhere, post office, an office building, we see this kind of stuff happening, and you know why it's happening? It's because evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And it ain't gonna stop because you take their guns away. It's not the guns, it's in the heart of men. And so what we need to understand, and this is why we need to pray for our leaders, what they need to do, they pray up there in the, they have somebody to pray at all the sessions, don't they? The congressional, if you're going to separate church and state, why are y'all up there praying? And when our president and many others give political speeches, what do they say? God bless America. God bless the United States of America. God? What do you mean? Then let's put him back in our school system. Amen. Let's put him back in our homes. Let's make him the centerpiece at every conversation that we have. Let's make him the centerpiece of our heart, because what he's done, he's praying for us, Lord, that even though these things, evil men, seducers are going to wax worse and worse, I pray for you that you won't be seduced. Amen. Lord, help us. We can easily be seduced. Because a lot of these things that they're saying, it makes sense on the carnal level. But when we look at it from the Word of God, it makes no sense at all. Well, they can look at it from this standpoint. Well, if you're going to not separate church and state, then what we really need to do is we need to have a session for the Christians, and then we need to have one for the Muslims, we need to have one for the Jews, we need to have one for the unbelievers, and we need to just make all of it. It's not equal. Our God is not equal to any other God. No God is equal to our God. And why should we be ashamed of saying that? Lord, help us. Keep us from the evil. But let me tell you, one of the evil things that is taking place in our society today is the change in which it's happening in our minds about who God is. It's a very subtle, but it is a progressive thing that is happening, that our God is no better off than any other God. Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Yeah.
Keep us from that evil thought.
Amen.
That we would bring you down, and we will try for the sake of not excluding anybody, for the sake of trying to be equal, and for the sake of being politically correct and not trying to offend anybody, then I'll say that your religion is equal to mine. It's not.
Amen.
Well, Brother Darrell, you're not supposed to be saying that. If you said that to somebody, do you know that most people in our society, if you were to take a poll, most people would say, well, you can go to heaven this way or you can go that way. It's all the same. It's all different diverging roads that come together to the same thing. No, it's not. How many ways is it? One way. Who is it? I am the way, the Lord says. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, help me. Help me in my mind to stay away from the evil thoughts. And it's evil for me to even think in some way that any other religion is equal to the Christian religion, to Christ's religion. Now, doesn't that sound kind of harsh? Well, Brother Dale, you can't say it. You know what? I heard this on the radio. Something about the man that prayed at the inauguration. There was another person that prayed that they had selected, but he had said some disparaging things against the gay movement. So they didn't want to have that there. So apparently this man that did pray didn't have any bad things to say about it. But that's evil, isn't it? But it would make, what if I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, and the Bible stands against these things. We talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Why can't I say something about it? Chances are I'll never get to. I wish they would call me. Let me go down there and pray.
Amen. Amen.
Now give me an audience with the president. Let me tell him a few things. Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Right is right. It's always been right.
Amen.
It always will be. Lord, help us to stand firm in truth. Keep us from the evil. Keep us from the evil thoughts that the enemy presents to us. That what these things don't seem to be so evil in our world, because there is a process. There is a change that's taking place. But it's evil. And if we're not careful, we'll just say anything. That's what's happening in the world today. That's what's happening in the religious world. There are folks that are preaching, singing in the choir, living in leadership positions in the church and churches today, right here in the Dallas Metroplex area, that know that they're not living right. They know it.
Right.
Yet they have the audacity to stand up and try to deliver the word of God. That's evil.
Amen.
That's wrong. They may have a whole lot of folks, not more. We're just a sparse crowd here. But let me tell you, what you don't have to worry about is whether or not your preacher is endeavoring to live right by the grace of God. You don't have to worry about that. Now, there may be some things I don't understand and some things that you just need to pray for me about. But I tell you, when I know what the Lord is requiring by the grace of God, I've got to live there, because I'm not just doing this for the money. I'm not doing it for my health. I'm not doing it for popularity. I'm trying to get to heaven just like I'm trying to get you there.
Amen.
And the only one that I have complete control over to make certain that this person gets to heaven, no matter how close my wife is, no matter how close I am to my children, it doesn't matter. I don't have any control over them. I have control over this man.
Amen.
The only one that I can keep from the evil. Let me tell you, I do believe as the head of the house that I have some control over what comes in and out of my house. I believe that when the head yields, there is something that everything else follows. And so it is it's a responsibility. Men, don't let the women be the spiritual heads in your household. You be the spiritual head. There's nothing wrong with her being right there with you, right by your side. But don't let her outdo you. Lord, help us. And that's what happens when you go to any church, not just here. When you go to any church, you count the men as opposed to the women. There's always more women. Let's rise up. Let's rise up to the occasion, men. I believe we are. I'm not doubting us, but I just want us to understand it, that we can boast, and if we decide in our mind that we're going to let a little something in, it's going to affect our wives. It's going to affect our children. Lord, help us. All right. Now, the scripture that we've probably heard many times, I want to return to Isaiah 5 and 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, and put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. So they got it all twisted around. All confused. Do you suppose that we live in a situation in an age like this? One reason that the Lord, I believe, brings us to a setting where we don't just get all of what we need to get in our home and we're sitting down and we're doing our own Bible studies. I'm not against that. I think that we need to. But have you ever looked at something just a little bit wrong, and when you got around people or you said it out loud, then you realize, or you looked at something, you thought it was right, you started justifying it in your mind, and then when it came out on the outside, then you realize that didn't sound right. There's something that doesn't ring so right to that. You know, the Lord brings us all together. And the reason this is because some of the things that we're saying, some of the things that we've brought out is people that's calling good evil and evil good. If we say that, you know, I don't do those kind of things, well, you're holier than thou. There you are. Think you better than everybody else. And the good that I do, the good that you do, the enemy endeavors to take that, twist it, and make it evil. That you shouldn't be judging everybody. Well, I'm not judging everybody. The Word of God is judging folks. Lord, help me to stand by the Word of God. Now, it's not always easy to be in our position. But the Lord requires us as saints of God to stand firm no matter what comes or goes. Let's do that by the help and the grace of God. Let's be faithful even when everybody else is calling us evil. Now, have you been called evil? And what you did, you just stood for what was right. But how it affected somebody else. And because they were condemned by what you were doing, they started pointing fingers at you and saying disparaging remarks about you. Of course that hurts your feelings. Doesn't it? And nobody here, I don't believe a person here has not had their feelings hurt. You can see little children, you take something from them or tell them no, no, and you can just see them, their feelings are hurt. They didn't do nothing to them. They just start crying because that emotion that they weren't accepted, there was a rejection here, and there was something that I did that my feelings were hurt, whatever it was. And we've done that. All of us have been to those kinds of places, but may the Lord help us to understand that we just have to stand for what's right. Lord, keep us from the evil. Because what happens in those times is because we have such a desire to be accepted, is we begin to just kind of come to a point of compromise. Yeah. Oh, compromise, and I won't do what I know is right because I don't want to hurt you. You know, that's wrong. Lord, what happens is it leads us to another level that the Lord wouldn't be pleased with. It tends to be evil. It tends toward evil. You understand what I'm saying? We can be seduced to do wrong. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving. And don't think that anyone here is above deception. The one thing that keeps us above deception is an honest heart. Where I'm not desiring anything outward. All I want is more of you, Lord. I want to know that you approve my life. I want to know I'm not trying to get signs and wonders. And you know when folks want that and they're desiring miracles and I've seen folks go astray because they're wanting some outward manifestation rather than say, Lord, I know by the grace of God, I know I'm saved. You made a change in my heart. I'm a different man. I'm a different woman. But you want to see some great thing, then that opens you up to be seduced. What does the scripture say in one place? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. Alright? Now, Galatians 1, verse 4. Let's try to bring this to an end. Not too terribly much time. Yes. Alright, let's go back a little bit. Galatians 1. Let's go to let's just start at the first verse. Sorry about that. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Now, you know, did you see what Paul just said? Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men. Men didn't make him that. He didn't do it for man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And that's what we've got to do. When we have that kind of focus like Paul had, then we're not doing it for the people, we're doing it for God, all right? All the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Isn't that wonderful? He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So Jesus didn't just pray for us, did he? He didn't just pray that you keep him from the evil. He gave himself to keep us from this present evil world. He died. He shed his blood. And his blood is what keeps us clean. I don't know how it happens. I don't know the spiritual. I can't explain all the theology behind it, but I know it happens. I know it's real. I know that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Not just a little bit. He can cleanse me from all sins. And we have to believe that before it ever happens. Lord, help us. Alright? Now, I thought of it like this. There are a lot, and we've been talking a lot, and sometimes we talk quite a bit about religion and whatnot, but there a little bacteria. Some little mosquito bites a person. And it gives them West Nile virus. And do you know that that can kill you? A little bacteria that gets into your bloodstream, and your bloodstream has to have enough power to fight it off and immune your body against it, or else it'll bring that your entire body down. All right? And so you can see something that's attached to, that kind of attaches itself to and begins to grow, and it becomes worse and worse and worse, and this is where sicknesses come from. And then, not only that, but we have other malaria, we have other diseases that are contagious diseases. And what happens is somebody sneezes, coughs, and they have a contagious disease that we don't know about. And then what do? They shake your hand, and then before you know it, you wipe your eye, and before you know it spreads. And why am I bringing this point out? And then before you know it, we can have a contagion. We can have something that is a deadly disease that is affecting a lot of people simply because somebody was involved. They breathed it in, they breathed it out, and we were affected by that. You know, in one sense, this is what's happening in the religious world. This is what's happening spiritually speaking. That we almost in one sense need to be quarantined, but you know, what happens is that we get the shot, so to speak. We get immunized. And if the immunization comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. You get the blood of Jesus Christ, it'll keep you from this present evil world. It'll keep you from the evil that is in this world. But what happens is, if we're not careful, what will happen is we will... there will be something that attaches itself. And this is why we got to be careful what we partake of. All right? There's a few things that help the immune system. Eating helps the immune system. Right? Healthy eating. That's a good point. It's not just eating. Because actually some of the things that we partake can actually affect our immune system. So what was just brought out, and I was going to bring it out, but I appreciate you saying it, because that's exactly what we're talking about. There has to be a healthy diet in order for the immune system to build up and to be able to ward off these things that are going to try to attack the body. In the same way, this is one of the reasons that the Lord has us coming together, and He gifts individuals to come and feed us with the Word of God. With what we call the unadulterated truth. It's nothing mixed in it. It's no disease. It's not just some. It's not some bacteria that's attached to it. Saints, that's important. We can go to any church that we go to the church of your choice. No, don't go to the church of your choice. Go to the church that you know is right. Amen. No matter what it looks like from the outside or on the inside, you know that the people live right. You know that they preach right. You know what they're doing is right by the help and the grace of God. And they're endeavoring to be honest and true. You go to that church.
Amen.
Because anything else, you can get, you know what, when you hear something, it affects you. No matter what it is, it affects you. And your mind has to process in or out whatever it is that you've heard. And so if someone comes to you and they lay down by the Word of God that you cannot live a holy life and everybody has to sin more or less every day, and you begin to believe that, there is some little microbe, some bacteria that is attached to that, and as you partake of that enough, you begin to change and believe it. Lord, have mercy on us. And if you can't find a church that's right, stay at home. But if you got one, and pray. Stay at home and pray and read your Bible and ask the Lord to have mercy on you and keep you from the evil. But we have this sense of wanting to be a part of something. And so, well, such and such church is a big church. They got 5,000 people. And let me go there. Why am I going there? There was somebody
that was talking about. Now, this is a person that had never set foot in this church, right? One of Serena's friends from college. Went to one of the big churches up there in Houston. What's the name of it? Joel Osteen. I ain't never been there, but I'm telling what they said. It was just like a motivational speak. I'll never go there again. Didn't say anything about the Lord. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how many scriptures I've read? You know why I read so many scriptures? And you know why when saints get up here? Now, I know you can have one scripture and expound on that scripture. And I'm not against that. But one of the purposes of having scripture is to support what you're saying. And that you can go back later on, and you can see, well, this is what he said. Let's see if the Word of God matches up there. And you can study it for yourself.
Right.
Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So you can actually go along and find out if that person is rightly dividing the Word of truth. You have every right to do that. And not only do you have every right, I encourage you to do that. Because I can only get myself to heaven. I'm going to do everything that I can to get you there too. But ultimately, it's your responsibility to make certain that you get there. And if you don't, you know whose fault it's going to be? Yours. It's not going to be what the preacher said or didn't say. It's going to be that the Lord Himself comes to us and He talks to us and He teaches us. What He said is, grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching them that denying evil, ungodliness, worldly lusts, they should live righteously, soberly, godly. Where? When they get to heaven? No. Right here in this present world. Lord, help us to be willing to do that. All right. Do we? Yes. Where were we? Galatians 1. Okay. I marvel that you're so soon removed from, you read down to, okay, that's good enough. All right. So, one of the things that we say is, there is a famine in our land, really, of hearing the Word of God. Unadulterated. And then, you know, what happens when, and this is why I say it's important for us to be in service every opportunity that we can be. Because you know what? It's the health of the body. We may find out that we got something else that we have to do. And I know that there are some times that we can't be here. But we can't do it just out of casualness. There's a reason. The Lord prepares us a meal. And he says, this is what I want you to eat. And it's good. It's good. How many times, you know, my wife loves broccoli. And I think our children grew up liking broccoli too. But you know, the proverbial broccoli. None of the children like broccoli. I don't want broccoli. But we make them eat it. Why do we make them eat it? Because it's healthy. It's good for them. There are going to be sometimes you come to service and there are going to be things that the Lord is healthy. But it's going to be hard to swallow. You're going to have a good dose of both a good drink of water. Lord, help me to get this down because this is hard on the flesh.
Yes.
But it's good for you. It's good for the spirit.
Amen.
And so in the same way, what I want to encourage you, saints of God, the Lord has prepared a meal. You will not be malnutritioned. And when a person is malnutritioned and they're starving for the word of God, do you know they're going to be susceptible? They'll eat almost anything. A person that's hungry will eat almost anything, won't he?
Yeah.
But we've got to eat the right... And some of the things that they'll eat will kill them.
Yeah.
And this is why we cannot allow ourselves just to partake of anything. Because I heard it on the radio. It must be right. Because I read it in a book. And this is why I've often... I don't preach against it so much anymore, but I often say, be careful what you get at that Christian bookstore. Now, if they've researched all those things out, and not everything that they have researched out is right. And this is why you see some of the folks that once had a strong, firm stand on the things of God, you see things change. You see just ever so slightly it going over in another direction because of something that they ate. You begin to see the symptoms of it. There is a change that is taking place in their spiritual makeup, and you know it. You know they're not as healthy. No matter how much they say that they are, they're not as healthy as they used to be. And you know they're on the road. You can see them getting gaunt in their soul, spiritually speaking. Saints, we can't let that happen. Lord, keep me, keep you from this present evil world. Keep us from the evil thereof, because evil doesn't always look evil. How many times have we heard of people that go out and pick wild mushrooms? If there's some place that's a wild mushroom, trust me, I'm not going to eat them. Why? Because there are some that look just like the others, that if you don't know them apart, they will kill you. And in the same way, spiritually, you can look, put two things by side, and one may kill you when the other is something that gives life and nourishment. Lord, help us. And we can know that if we know the Word of God. Lord, help us. And the Spirit of God. Not just the Word of God, but the Spirit of God. Keep us from the evil. All right. So, one of the things that happens is an immunization is that you have a certain level of the bacteria that you are trying to ward off. You remember, I think it's been years since I read this, but it's coming to my mind now. Louis Pasteur? Remember him? He was the one that had smallpox, right? He did the smallpox vaccination, and y'all probably can tell me more about this. I should have looked it up, but I didn't think of it at the time. But one of the things that he would do, he would inject, was in another kind of bacteria. And that person would get chicken pox or something, but it would build up the immune system. I don't know exactly how it works, but you know the point. It would build up the immune system so that it would ward off smallpox, right? And do you know one of the things that's built up my immune system is I lived in sin. I did it. I remember the days that I didn't have peace.
Yeah.
And I remember the times that I didn't want to die like this.
Yeah.
I didn't want to die like this.
Amen.
And I wasn't one of those bad sinners either. I didn't drink and smoke and do a whole bunch. I did enough that would have taken me to hell. But you know, now that the blood of Jesus has come in and it has delivered me from it, and I watch other people that are the symptoms of them going back into sin, I say, don't you remember what it was like back there?
Amen.
Don't you remember how terrible it was, and how the devil just pulled the cloak over your eyes and you were blinded, and when the scales fell off, you realized that was horrible. I lived a horrible life. And I don't want to live that anymore. So now, Lord, by your blood, I want you to keep me from sin. I don't want to sin more or less every day. That's why I got saved, because I didn't want to sin more or less every day.
Amen.
I wasn't a bad sinner. I wasn't a bad one.
You would have called me a good one, but I was still a sinner, and I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. By the grace of God, and I want, Lord, you keep me from this evil, present evil world. Because there are temptations every single day that we go out. There are things that we have to deal with. There are people that are just evil. There's evil around. We see it on the billboards. We see it in the computer. We see it just in the grocery store. We see it in innocent places. Keep me from it.
Amen.
Keep me from it, Lord.
All right. Now, I'm going to bring this to an end. Hebrews 9 and 22. Yes.
All things are by the law.
Purge. So what purges us? The blood of Jesus. What cleans us up? It's our faith in the blood of Jesus. It will never lose its power. No matter what it is that you're facing, no matter what temptation you're facing, that blood has the power to purge, to clean us up, to make us new men and new women. I was talking to somebody recently. And tell them, if you knew our stories, if you just knew the stories of the people that are sitting here, what their background was and all of this, you know, you'd be shocked. They cleaned up pretty good, didn't they? The Lord has the blood of Jesus has the ability to clean me up and keep me clean from that moment all the way into the end. I thank the Lord for that. Read.
Without shedding of blood,
there is no remission. All right, without shedding the blood, there is no remission. I want us to turn to 1 John 5 and 18. Seventeen says, all unrighteousness is sin, if there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. The wicked one touched. So you know what? There are some things. What? A handshake from the devil? Something on it.
Yeah.
Don't let him shake your hand. Don't even give him a fist bump. Don't have anything to do with it. When you see him, just say, rebuke you. I don't want to. What is he doing? There's something on that hand that the minute you put it up to your mouth, it's going to affect you in a negative way. You don't want anything that belongs to the devil.
Yeah.
He says that he sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. So what is the responsibility? Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to keep ourselves in the love of God. We have a responsibility. Nobody can force you. Jesus won't even force you. Alright? Sinneth not, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Jude 20. Let's read that. 20 to 24.
But ye beloved.
Building up yourselves on your most... What do we do? What do we do when we are sick? You got a cold. Eat some chicken soup. And what mother has not given their child chicken soup? What parent has not, or loved one, what have not given you something to build you up? To make you stronger, to stand against whatever is invading your body. So we're going to give you all the necessary... Drink some juice. They say Starbucks, something. What is it? All right. Well, I don't know what... Maybe that's an old wives' tale, but what the point is, we try to build our immune system up. We try to build our body up to be able to fight this thing, right? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. One way to do that is to pray. There's another scripture that I want to bring out that comes to my mind is that the Lord says when he taught us how to pray, what did he say? Pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's our prayer. That's our responsibility. Lord, deliver me from evil. All right? And we pray that way. Continue.
Keep yourself.
You keep yourselves in the love of God.
Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ
unto eternal life.
And
if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire,
hating even the garment
spotted by the flesh. Now unto him. Now what did he say at the beginning of when we first started here? He said, Father, you keep them. I'm getting ready to go. I've kept the charge. I'm getting ready to go. But now you keep them through thy own name. Alright? Now he said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you without fault. Does that mean that there's a little bit of sin attached to you? No. No. He said, without spot and wrinkle and no such thing. That means that there is something in the power of that blood that is able to clean us up and keep us clean. Yeah. All right?
And to present
you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Pray, Lord, keep us from the evil. The Lord can do that. Saints, stand firm. It's just a little while longer. We don't know how close it is, but it's just a little while longer before it's all over. May the Lord help us. Pray for us.
Let us stand. Have a number. Maybe someone has a desire to pray.